I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Buenas, buenas, mis amores. This is Vico Ortiz, host of Date My Abuelita First. Each week, myself, alongside our resident abuelita, Liliana Montenegro.
Esa soy yo!
Play matchmaker for a group of hopeful romantics in this fun, flirty, and hilarious game show. Let's see if chispas will fly or if these singles will be sent back to the dating apps. Listen to Date My Abuelita First on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We're joined, as always, with our super producer, Paul Mission Control Deccant. Most importantly, you are you. You are here. That makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. And, fellow conspiracy realist, you may be part of tonight's program. That's right. It's time for listener mail. We are going to get some updates from our fellow conspiracy realist about drugs, about HVAC, and we want to give a shout out to Brock for hipping us to the return of the humble farmer. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. So thank you for keeping a finger on the pulse of that one. We're going to talk about a very disturbing story out of Australia, and then we're gonna, you know, we got some stuff we have to get off our collective chest about clones. But before we do any of that, we have been, like so many other people, tracing this strange story about Kate Middleton.
The royal drama. Yes, we've become a couple of trio of royal watchers, haven't we, Ben? Not really. It's interesting, though. There, you know, I'm with you, Matt, when we talked about it on Strange News a couple of weeks ago. Who cares? Like, there is some who caresness to it. Like, okay, so, you know, the Prince of Wales has a mistress. So, surprise, surprise.
I do have to say one thing, though, Noel,
yeah.
As we're getting in. I want to make a point that I didn't make when talking about this previously. Obviously, I am not a monarchist. I'm the opposite end of that spectrum.
I don't think we are,
but I do have to say something I didn't bring up earlier. One important thing for us to remember is that people in the monarchy or in the aristocracy are humans like anybody else, and they did not choose to be in their position. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They were born into it.
That's true. The ones that married into it chose it a little bit.
That's true.
You could argue.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's true.
Guys,
go ahead.
Before you really jump into I don't think anybody caught the joke, and I don't think I explained myself. When we were talking about this last time, I said my favorite royal watcher, the only person I pay attention to, is Byron Denniston.
I don't think I caught that either.
It's a character from Comedy Bang Bang, and I was trying to be silly because it's a really great character. That includes Lady Amelia Spencer and The Grizz, of course.
That's a deep cut, bro. I listen to that show plenty and have seen most of the series, but not aware of that one.
Okay. All right. No, my bad.
It's okay, though, man. You explained it now. I'm going to seek those episodes out. But, you know, we talked about this on Strange News a few weeks ago. And then Ben and I, Matt, had some family obligations. But Ben and I went to New York and were lucky enough to be on the podcast Sauce on the Side with our pal Gandhi from the Elvis Duran Morning Show. And her producer, Diamond, had some real... takes, you know, on this stuff and was all over it. And it gave me a moment to kind of realize that maybe I had, I don't know, been a little easy on the royal family, perhaps, in the segment where I was sort of like, there's nothing going on at all. Everything's above board. She's just having a surgery and photoshopping her own family photos. Yeah, it's weird that she would do that, A. B, that this statement would come out signed C, which apparently is the way she signs her name, by the way. But at the time, I didn't realize that, and it seemed a little odd. Kind of doubt that many of the royals are doing their own Twitters or their own X's. But then again, you know, there is a certain expectation that what you see on those kind of platforms, there's certainly a possibility that it is coming directly from the source. We certainly know that's the case with, Donald Trump, for example, and others that clearly are tweeting themselves because you couldn't pay people to write stuff this bad and self-incriminating. But my main thing was, yeah, it's a little weird that she's been out of the public eye for so long. And it was a little weird that they posted this picture because, of course, it was going to be taken as sort of a proof of life kind of situation. And the fact that it was so weirdly and awkwardly doctored really called into question the whole thing. And I will stand by my whole thing about all of this, which is that the PR firm or whatever it's handling the royal family's public affairs, not doing a great job. Because, you know, guys, we say it all the time. If there's a question and you just introduce more questions or introduce more vagueness, you're gonna have a conspiracy feeding frenzy on your hands, right? And that's what we've got here.
Especially with the royal family, right, which is a main character in so many conspiracies. And then this also, this kind of speculation is exacerbated in the age of social media, right? Because now people are able to share any kind of theory, whether or not it's based on fact or some kind of research. And then other people will go with it because it's the more interesting story. I remain, I still crack up about the folks who were convinced for a while that Kate Middleton was out of the public eye because she got a Brazilian butt lift, which we mentioned previously, but I just thought that was so silly. I tuned into Sauce on the Side because Diamond, I think, had some of the best examinations of this, right? She thought through it pretty in depth.
Absolutely. And we have another listener who's been thinking about this as well. This is, in fact, listener mail, and I haven't mentioned one of our beloved listeners. But we got a note from the Mitch Doctor, which is fun. Just a quick theory. Hey, guys, here's a theory on Kate Middleton. I can't take credit for sparking this idea, but it seems to fit. Maybe she's an organ donor for King Charles, who is also in the hospital. A kidney donation? Seems more likely than some of the stuff currently on the internet. Ta-ta for now, the Mitch Doctor. I can only hope and assume that if they're saying ta-ta for now, that they are, in fact, British citizens or maybe even royalty. Who knows? But thank you, the Mitch Doctor. I think that's very interesting. And in preparing for this segment, I did find a really cool article from The Intelligencer, which is, I believe, a offshoot of New York Magazine. It just came out yesterday as we record this on March 22nd, with a timeline up to now of all of the Kate Middleton brouhaha. And Ben, you mentioned the Brazilian butt lift thing. I think, and we've heard people say that maybe it was a gastric bypass procedure, and all of that simply from a statement from Kensington Palace announcing that Her Royal Highness, the Princess of Wales, was admitted to hospital yesterday for planned abdominal surgery. Okay, and that came out on January 17th of 2024. And since that time, There hasn't. That's kind of, you know, when the speculation started to thrive, because she hadn't really made any public appearances reasonably close to that date, and then up until now, except for the weird photoshopped image which we talked about, and a video that came out. TMZ published. Well, it was a photo, I believe. TMZ published a paparazzi photo on March the 4th of Kate in a car with her mother near Windsor Castle. And then there was also an individual the Sun reported that Kate had been spotted shopping with William at Windsor Farm Shop, and I believe a video was taken, and there's even an article where the person who took the video is quoted and kind of trying their best to debunk these theories, but people have been trying to run this video through like AI algorithms to do facial matching stuff. Because I do have to say, on an initial glance, she looks a little different. I could see where people are coming from in looking at this image and this video and saying, that doesn't quite look like my Kate. And so there are people that are speculating that that is not her, that she's been replaced. But then, like I said, the person, the shopper who filmed this video, are they now going to question if I'm a real person as well? Did I put a fake Kate there? It is ridiculous. So I do kind of still stand by the fact that a lot of this stuff is just, you know, like armchair sleuths. And what was the word we used on the segment? I believe it was something like recreational speculators, something along those lines. But what do you think, guys, of the Mitch Doctor's theory? Well, first of all, I'm sorry, Ben, I want to point out too that the Diamond, the producer, did say, I think this might be a big way of shifting focus off of King Charles's illness. But what do you guys think about this idea that Kate is a donor? She's not exactly a direct family, so I don't see how she would be a uniquely suitable candidate.
Honestly, the organ donation thing is interesting from a story construction kind of perspective, but sure. In terms of real life, would it not be more plausible that they would get a donor who is the perfect match? Like, I think they would prioritize the safety of the donation process over the attachment of the family.
Well, and wouldn't that be something to celebrate? You're saving the king's life or something, you know, by donating part of your body. I don't know.
Yeah. And also there are a couple things at play. You don't want to have, you don't want to have any death, but for a monarchy to lose the monarch twice in quick succession, it's not a good look. So maybe this is distraction. Maybe this is, Diamond also pointed out the possibility that there was a serious illness on Middleton's side.
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm with you, Matt, though, on an organ donation would be a positive press story. Why would you hide that? If you were like, say, you know, that seems like something that you would look the bravery of this woman, you know, you would want to promote that.
The only reason I could imagine that you would want to hide something like that, which is a heroic thing to do, is because it might be indicative of just how far the king's condition has deteriorated. So maybe that's what they're trying to keep under wraps, if that theory is true.
And guys, I think I asked this last time we were talking about this, but what is the true, like, to what end? What is the true benefit of being so, sneaky around the health of a public figure like that? Is it because it can affect deals and even markets and stuff? Is it you just want to keep that stuff under your control as long as humanly possible and don't want people to know what's really going on until the death actually occurs?
That's part of it. I mean, there is state security wrapped up in this, right? So stability of the nation, the appearance of stability is a hugely important factor. So I imagine that's in the calculation somewhere, but really we don't have enough information to say what's happening definitively. And I'm sure that there are a ton of journalists in the United Kingdom who are doing their best, like social engineering, cold calling, trying to get information out of the monarchy and their staff. That may actually be the way that we learn what's happening.
Yeah, it's interesting. I guess I just don't think, you know, it's not the same as a president being sick to me, you know, because they're just so toothless. The royal family, they're just ceremonial. they have this lavish lifestyle that's largely to maintain this continuity of sort of history and tradition, but they don't really do anything. So like what would be politically at stake? Is it just because the British people are so obsessed with them and there's such a reverence for them? Or maybe I just don't get it because I'm not, you know, from there.
Yeah, I guess it's not for us. Not everything could be for everybody, but yeah, you do raise a point. The monarchy has tremendous real estate holdings, so that's a big deal. They're also a huge cultural and economic touchstone for the United Kingdom. Like the UK government makes a ton of money off royalty, off the concept of it. Think about all the people who travel around the world, see London and to check out that stuff. So, so they do play an economic role, a big one in that sense. I would.
We were talking about that, I believe, with somebody we were hanging out with in New York. Just the tourism aspect of it is not something to be completely ignored. That's true. I don't know, Matt, you've been quiet on this one. Any thoughts? I know this isn't your bag exactly, but it's not mine either. I when we talked about it last time, my main interest was in just how, the brouhaha around the photo and just realizing the standards that, like, you know, organizations like AP have and how it was just kind of missed. And just this whole distinction between, like, is this photo entertainment or is this news and how is it taken and just how quickly these things can sort of, you know, balloon out of control. But you got any closing thoughts for us on this one, Matt, before we take a break? Are you still I don't care?
Oh, I thought that was your Prince Charles.
That's good. That's a good grumble, a very kingly grumble.
I hope everybody's okay.
I do too. I hope they're happy.
Yep.
Think they're happy? They don't seem very happy on the crown.
I mean, nobody's happy all the time.
Fair enough. Well, thanks to the Mitch Doctor for that theory. I certainly think that it could be plausible, but I don't see why that of all things they would cover up.
We just need to know more. Yeah,
I think so. That's right. Mm-hmm. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be back with some more messages from you.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy, reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We've returned, and we're going to the emails, guys, to get some updates on the last 2 weeks of strange news. We've got one coming in. Let's get started with an email from Brett, who wrote to us on March 11th with regards to a bit of a smuggling story that we talked about. The first person that was ever charged with smuggling greenhouse gases into the United States from Mexico. And Brett is coming to us with quite a bit of experience in the HVAC world. Let's see what he has to say. Brett says, I wanted to give you some insight on the latest strange news about the greenhouse gas smuggling. I'm an HVAC/R, that's heat, ventilation, air conditioning, refrigeration technician in New York. You are right that you do need a license to purchase refrigerants, a license granted by the EPA. That's kind of cool. You have to take tests and pass to get one of those things. The Freon, known as R22, that's the substance that actually is a refrigerant, causes your refrigerator and your air conditioner to create cold air. You got to have this stuff run the air through it, makes it cold. This Freon, known as R22, has been used for decades, and in 2024, there's still equipment that uses it. Last summer, one 25-pound bottle of R22 cost $1,750. That's a ton of money, guys. 25 pounds, $1,700. That's with vendors limiting supply per EPA regulations. We'll talk about it, but remember, this R22 refrigerant Freon is a controlled substance at this point, a highly controlled substance. Even though it's just a gas, right? It's Freon. Mm-hmm. It's a form of gas, right?
This is pertaining to the black market sale of this stuff that we were talking about, or the availability of it on, like, was it Facebook Marketplace, right?
Yes. Why it's so tightly controlled, why this person got in trouble for bringing something like this, Freon, refrigerant greenhouse gas into the U.S. to sell. So Brett continues, lots of older techs hate using the replacement of this Freon, the replacement of R22, because it's not as good and sometimes causes more issues from size of equipment to how much cooling it will produce. So like how large the equipment is that uses the R22, right? I think that's what he's saying. Most times, having to buy newer equipment to replace the old system, whether it's still in working condition, some systems are only 2 to 5 pounds. So they only require 2 to 5 pounds of this stuff for homes, but markup for labor and use of it. I think what he's saying here, like with the huge cost of that greenhouse gas, you're only going to be using 2 to 5 pounds. Is that, do you think that's what Brett's saying here, guys?
I think that's kind of what I got. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So Brett says, it's cheaper to buy a brand new AC because most older techs and retired techs still have tanks of this good R22 greenhouse gas refrigerant they could use. And again, for this alone, I'm used to this being the norm as it's the way of the job, but it does get hard telling those older generations who are retired with a fixed income that it's going to cost somewhere between $3,000 to $5,000, if not a ton more, guys, to replace their old HVA systems that used the R22. Brett signs off saying thanks for the show. So, guys, it just makes a lot of sense, especially hearing from somebody like this, that this type of greenhouse gas that's used as a refrigerant, it's potentially dangerous, right? According to the regulators who have chosen to put regulations on this stuff. But also, it's crazy, crazy expensive. I had no idea how expensive it was, but I call very vividly at my old house having to get more Freon pumped into my really old air conditioning system. And it was, I think it was $350 for a tiny, basically a shot of this stuff to refill my system.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that stuff that people actually steal out of air conditionings because it is so valuable?
Maybe. I have no idea how you would do that. I've never looked into it. But
well, I also think it's also something that people like, certain people like to huff.
Oh.
I have heard tales of people going to apartment complexes and like stealing Freon out of those air conditioning window units.
It's all a price point thing, right? Like as soon as the price or potential for profit reaches a certain threshold, then, you know, anything can be stolen. Shout like out to catalytic converters.
Boom.
And
yes,
copper.
Sir.
Yeah. And there's also, it's interesting because first, thank you so much for the letter here, Brett. It's interesting because when I was looking into the context of this, the refrigerant smuggling, I didn't know it's been a thing since the 1990s, and it happened because of the regulations that came about to close that hole in the ozone layer. Remember when that was a big deal for everybody?
Yeah.
So by fixing this one problem, which is a big problem, society
created another. It's like the cobra thing. The cobra effect, right?
Ugh.
Yeah, the cobra effect.
You can go to a couple of places online. The one I found that immediately popped up just when you Google R22, which is called hydrochlorofluorocarbon 22 or HCFC 22. The replacements are weird. They have all kinds of names like R410A, R134A, R407C, and R407A. They're just refrigerants, but they don't have, at least according to the EPA, the same ozone depleting effects, which is why they're being used. But again, as Brett is saying, they maybe don't cool as effectively, and they are going to cost you an arm and a leg. I don't have much else to say on that, guys. Just appreciate Brett calling in with personal experience like that.
Yeah, thank you, Brett.
Then let's jump to another message we received from Always Something in Philadelphia. Love that. Love that. And Always Something is responding to the strange news where we talked about some people in Atlanta who were being targeted and attacked in local bars here in a place called Buckhead.
Drugged and abducted, yeah.
Yes, exactly. And tens of thousands of dollars coming out of their bank accounts. So Always Something says, "Hi there, gents. I've been a sporadic listener for nearly 10 years. We need to up your listening. Always Something needs to be a little more than sporadic." Just kidding. Thank you for listening at all. Always Something has been a sporadic listener recently since I've had a job where I can have headphones on. That's awesome. And I've been listening a lot more regularly. Oh, fantastic. See, you already are. Yesterday, I heard you just talk about the guys who had tens of thousands of dollars stolen after being drugged at bars in Atlanta. I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up the story of heartthrob Philadelphia's weatherman, John Belaris, or Belaris. I think it's Belaris.
I loved reading this. And by the way, you're an awesome writer, too.
So John Belaris, whose career was basically ruined because of a similar situation about 15 years ago. Interesting. John was a beloved weatherman and an A-list local celebrity in Philly with a bit of a wild streak, known for things like being friends with controversial baseball player Lenny Dykstra, I guess? I don't know this person, but according to the internet, not great things. Not great things.
Yeah, sexual assault accusations. In 2010, there was this allegation that he paid an escort, an adult entertainment actor, with a bad check that bounced. He would go on to be arrested on multiple misdemeanor and felony counts of things like identity theft, possession of cocaine and ecstasy, Grand Theft Auto, the crime, not the video game.
Got you. Oy, oy, oy. Don't pay for unscrupulous things with bad checks. Gosh, come on, Lenny. Okay, so John was partying in Miami and met some beautiful Eastern European women, at least according to the story, then blacked out and woke up to have tens of thousands of dollars missing from his accounts. He went public and he got help from the FBI, but he ended up losing his job and basically got blackballed because of the incident. If I remember correctly, this is Always Something saying that, there was some victim blaming about him tempted by the chance of a threesome and speculation that he was trying to be an actual, quote, John, not just named John, and was ripped off by the ladies he was soliciting, which resulted in his being fired. He then made national headlines after being interviewed about it on 2020, also in Playboy and by Howard Stern, and now apparently he's a realtor in Philly and still has local notoriety. Guys, I had never heard
nor I.
of this person before at all. John Bolaris. It's just an interesting piece of information that none of us had before. That's always something. So thank you. But guess what? Here's where things get crazy. You did not mention devil's breath, the substance it's believed that John was drugged with. It comes from a South American species of Datura, D-A-T-U-R-A, which is a genus of night-blooming plants known for their mystical and intense psychotropic properties, used in various indigenous cultures, medicines, and rituals, as well as in witchcraft.
Bro, is this what the guy in the car was being fed? He didn't know what it was? He had a hard time describing it? It wasn't a pill? Remember
we
that?
Don't know what, we don't know what the substance was. There's a great Vice documentary about this. The substance, always something, is describing here. And from that documentary, we were talking about this briefly off air. From what I remember about that, the method of application was to blow it as a dust or an aerosol into the person's face. But that just may be one possible method of deployment.
Yeah. I'm assuming it's also consumed in one way or another in some of the other rituals, right? When it's more ritualized. So who knows exactly? I don't know exactly how it works. I remember a 2007 piece from Vice. And then I think it was around the time we started our YouTube channel that Vice put that documentary out, probably 2014, something like that. We've known about that for quite a while. It didn't quite feel like this drug to us, but it's interesting, always something to bring it up and as a possibility, right? Because there is a dissociative effect with that drug where people seem to be, let's say, pliable in their actions, almost yes. like they're not really there. They'll go along with things. They're just agreeing to everything that if someone was in the position of like a captor, they might just agree with. Stuff like, hey, let's go to this bank account. Oh, okay. I guess that's what we're doing. Very weird. At least that's the case of Devil's Breath and how it's been described, at least by Vice. That's really the only thing I've seen on it. Let's go back to the email here. In the U.S., the most well-known is Jimson weed, which is associated with stories of 17th century colonists ingesting it and going crazy. I don't know anything about Jimson weed, J-I-M-S-O-N. That's another interesting thing to look up. It's feeling like there's another episode where we can talk about drugs that potentially could be used on you, right? As in maybe some kind of active attack. That could be an interesting episode.
Yeah.
All right. So it continues on here. Devil's breath is known for its ability to make people who ingest it very pliable. Oh, there's the word. That's why I had pliable in my brain because I just read this from Always Something. Sorry for taking your word there. It makes people very pliable and trusting while seeming coherent, then leaves victims forgetting the whole incident. So it's been known to be used in such con artist schemes. After the national headlines on the Bolaris case, Vice made a video called World's Scariest Drug. That's what we were just talking about, Ben. And this is where they sent a crew to Colombia to investigate and try the substance out. So enjoy this weird Datura rabbit hole. Sincerely, Always Something in Philadelphia. Well, there you go. There's some stuff to check out on your own right now. World's Scariest Drug on Vice. Learn about this this interesting fellow here, John Bolaris, B-O-L-A-R-I-S. And yeah, just go down the rabbit holes yourselves. We'll see what we find. And then let's come back together. Why don't you write to us or send us a message and let us know what you discover. We'll be right back with more messages from you.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with the Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we have returned. We are traveling down south to visit our fellow conspiracy realist in Australia. And this is an ongoing conversation. A big thank you to Anonymous in Oz. We'll read the story. We'll stop along the way for a couple of different things. And we want to be careful with some details going in to do what we can to protect our listeners' anonymity. Also, unrelated, thanks to AA for writing in, talking about the GHB, which should be in our episode on those drugs as weapons. All right, here we go. Hey guys, I'm writing to you from sunny and steamy far north Queensland in Australia. Your recent strange news story regarding those poor actors hired for the fake Wonka event prompted me to share my story with you. On 23rd June of 2011, I was hired as an extra, aspiring actress and all that, through my talent agency and told to attend a large hotel in Sydney, Australia. There were 200 extras, all hired from our agency. The only information we were given was to wear smart business attire. And here they mean smart, like, you know, fancy, like your C-suite at an office or something. On arrival, a lady checked off our names and handed me a large envelope. Walking into the conference room, it became clear we were in an AGM, an annual general meeting of a very large corporation. I opened my envelope. There was a share certificate. It's like a certificate giving you a certain number of shares. So a share certificate with my name and address on it, a ballot form for this big vote that had already been filled out. I was told to go to another person, show them my ID, my share certificate, and then put my ballot into a box. I can't remember the full name of the organization, Anonymous says originally, but it was definitely a life insurance or superannuation company. There were a lot of very distressed older people at the meeting. And this already sounds fishy, right? Being a paid actor in a Willy Wonka experience is one thing, but being paid to rig a corporation's votes? Is that what this sounds like, right?
Jeez. Like, we talk about things like crisis actors sometimes, and the word actor being thrown in there always did make me think of, if this is even a thing, where does one go to purchase the services of a crisis actor? Is it a special service offered by talent agencies? Like, this seems like an unusual situation.
Mm-hmm. It also reminds me of when lobbyists have rigged different local votes by packing crowds. But Anonymous continues and says, you can tell this was kind of weird for her too. She says, I asked why a share certificate had been made up in my name, and I was told it was done through my talent agency, and I was free to leave once I had cast my vote. I was told I'd be paid for the full 4-hour call time, but you just had to show your ID and drop the ballot in the box. Then I was told if I handed them back my share certificate, I get an additional $200 in cash. So they're like, also, you have to sell the shares back to us.
What?
Yeah, they want to keep it clean. Right.
Well, so there's no record of the payment then? Or no, that because she's getting paid as an actor and getting $200 in cash, but the shares go...
If she sells the shares back, I guess, technically, and it makes me wonder if that's the case for all these other extras, then if you look at the company's record, it seems like there were all of a sudden a ton of people who got shares, voted once, and then got out. That's very unusual.
This is, of course, fraud.
I think, yeah, you know, I'm not like the king of fraud, but I think it is. Like, I'm not a fraud expert, but it does. It's surprising to me that that is not illegal.
It's like insider trading almost, kind of, right? Where there's maybe a gray area for when does that become a crime and what is just kind of like acting on information and happenstance. I don't know.
It's weirdly specific crimes, you know, shout out to stamp fraud. But this one is so specific and strange that I think we couldn't figure out initially if it is illegal. So Anonymous continues, I knew this was totally immoral, if not illegal, so I did not cast my vote. I contacted my agency to complain, and they were not interested at all. Their cut from the 200 extras that day mattered more than what we had actually been sent to do.
Checks out.
I guess it does, but it's weird that a talent agency would allow themselves to be mixed up in something like this, but I guess if it pays. Diversify.
Yeah, gotta diversify, you know?
It's a still gig.
Yeah, it's a gig. A gig is a gig, right? Especially if you're aspiring in the entertainment industry.
And do you see what I mean about the crisis actors thing too? Doesn't it feel aligned in a way?
It feels similar to the crisis actor theory for sure. The idea that you are hiring someone on a short-term basis to appear as though they are someone else. And crisis actors, it's a very controversial conspiracy theory. It hasn't been proven. But that's wrapped up. It's part and parcel of the Alex Jones
debacle.
Allegations about Sandy Hook. Anyway, so Anonymous says, I know it made the media at the time. I'm having a hard time finding anything about it now. Pretty shady way of swinging the outcome of AGM, huh? Or as we Aussies say, dodgy. Anonymous, we say dodgy too. Don't we all say dodgy? Anyway, so thank you for the show. It means a lot. And then I wrote back to Anonymous and wanted to get more information. And Anonymous revealed the name. The name of the company is Premium Income Fund. It is like, you know, they mentioned superannuation. That's kind of like a pension retirement plan thing. And Premium Income Fund is apparently tied up to retirement savings for a lot of older people. In that country.
So it's like a shareholder meeting of some sort? Like, is that the thing, like, where the people who are voting are supposed to be a part? Like, you have to be a member or something?
Yeah, it's very strange. Don't have all the details yet, but that's what it sounds like. And it also sounds like someone, whomever contacted the talent agency, wanted the vote to go a certain way. And if those other people that Anonymous saw, who were actual shareholders, if they were very distressed, then it sounds like it's a controversial vote, you know?
Yeah.
That has to be illegal. Do we have any Australian lawyers or barristers in the crowd? If so, conspiracydiehartradio.com. you know, 1-833-STDWYTK. We would love to know more about this. So there was a huge civil action afterwards. 10,000 retirees per anonymous, because we talked back and forth about this, were, in her words, screwed out of their life savings. And anonymous just, again, needs to stay anonymous. But this brought up so many questions for me, and I think for all of us. How often does stuff like this happen? Could it happen in the U.S.? Could you rig a shareholder vote? It makes me think of Succession.
Of course. If it could, yes, it could happen and likely has happened, especially considering how relatively straightforward a process this was, you know? I don't know. That's wild.
That's the surprising thing, you know, that it's the straightforwardness of it. And also, it's terrible that it sounds like it's being predatory against these retirees. And on a personal level, I think we can all find that repugnant. But I would love to hear more about this. Have you guys ever heard of something like this happening before? Like, I hear it and it makes sense, but I've never thought of someone doing that.
It seems like if you're voting, you know, in a shareholder meeting or something like that, I'm sure we've all been shareholders at some point in our careers just through like discovery. They used to send out some weird stuff with that one back when we like got discovery stock. Oh, yeah. I guess
we're like, what is vesting?
Yeah.
Spoiler. It's not a real vest.
Well, we're pretty young folks back then. I didn't know anything about any of this stuff. And we would get in the mail like a ballot, basically, that you would vote on stuff that's up for as a shareholder, basically. And I do wonder if this thing, this premium income fund, that's what it's called, premium income fund.
And what do we say about innocuous names?
Well, like, I'm looking through trying to find exactly what it is and if there was a vote that you could check, like a meeting that had minutes or results of something. Mm-hmm. And I'm having a really hard time just in the moment. But
same. We got a PDF that does have more information. But again, in the interest of anonymity, we don't want to share too much of that on air. But we also, you know, now that I'm thinking through it, maybe it's just immoral. Maybe it's not technically illegal because they do own the shares when they vote.
Yeah.
But someone filled out their ballot already for them. I don't know. All right. Well, we are going to follow up with this in the future. We want to learn more about it. We want to hear from you folks if you have encountered similar strange shenanigans. And before we end, wanted to do another segment that we've been calling Letters from Home. We got a pretty thought-provoking message over on ye old internets. So Doug M. writes to us via Instagram, or hit me up on Instagram, and said, listening to the strange news on Frankensheep being used for hunting, the future seems to be cloning humans for use in government training, police, super weather fun time. But what would be the legal standing for murdering a clone? That's going to keep me busy today. Clone rights, and then also great episode. And as soon as I read this, I thought we would love this discussion on air. Clone rights. Do you guys think clones will be on the way, like manufactured cannon fodder for war?
That's gross. I mean, yeah, of course, if they can do it, they probably will try. But I mean, we were talking about this off mic briefly, and I just think there have to be that conversation has to happen. They're, you know, I mean, for all intents and purposes, a clone is, it's a person. It's not a robot. It's not an AI. It's flesh and blood and presumably something resembling a soul.
I don't think they'll be used for cannon fodder in war. I think the robots, the machines are going to be that.
A little more efficient, yeah.
I think it's going to be that organ harvesting, all that other stuff with, if clones become a thing, It's a personal clone and it's just got your stuff in it.
Okay.
And you think we can just use them? We can just harvest their organs and have them as like blood boys, you know? Is that really? Well,
where's the line? Do you grow individual organs in some kind of suspension? Do you grow a full body but without a brain
just
or
to
a
have
head?
A spare, you know?
Yeah. And that does get pretty gory pretty quickly. I wonder if, like right now, one of the main stumbling blocks in the science behind human cloning is that there are some hard ethical constraints about what you can and can't clone, how long you can allow a human clone to exist. I feel like clones will be on the way, though, because the science is possible. I just don't know what they'll be used for.
Have either of you guys seen Poor Things, the film?
I cannot wait to watch it, but I've not seen it yet.
It's really, really great, first of all. And it's not nearly as raunchy and controversial as people seem to be making it out. I mean, it's got some, titillating stuff, but it really is, to me, a very nice movie. It has a kindness to it in a way. But it's, of course, the classic Frankenstein story where you create a thing and then realize that it also learns and has feelings and changes, and you can't just treat it like a pet or even worse, like a slave or like something without agency. And this movie kind of takes a feminist approach to that concept, and I think it does it beautifully. But that's the thing, man. Ben, you mentioned without a brain. Oh, even just the saying that just sounds wrong, doesn't it? Like, wow. Yeah.
Like remove the cortex, the cerebellum, and so on.
It's like giving somebody a lobotomy in a sanitarium to make them docile. A pre-lobotomy.
It reminds me, there was a recent episode or an episode from a recent season of Rick and Morty, which is all about the tasty spaghetti sauce. Did you guys see that one?
No, I don't know that one.
Okay. Well, light spoilers ahead, folks, or big spoilers ahead. 3, 2, 1, spoilers. So in this one episode of Rick and Morty, the family is having their weekly family dinner time, and everybody loves Grandpa Rick's spaghetti. It's like a secret family recipe that he talks about. They're nuts for it. It's called That's Amorte. And what they learn is that this spaghetti comes from the death of aliens, like aliens on this other planet. When they die, their guts are the spaghetti.
Oh,
wow.
And the sauce.
Yeah. Also, guys, light spoilers, Soylent Green, it's people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's Gary Oldman the whole time.
We got a review on Apple Podcasts that says, these guys are constantly spoiling stuff I haven't finished yet.
Oh, okay. Well, then, shall we proceed? Yes, indeed. So the reason I bring this up, and all sorts of hijinks happens. Rick and Morty has these fantastic writers, these incredible concepts. And in there, they try the people who are the origin point of the spaghetti, their civilization, institutes an economy of scale. And they say, hey, how can we ethically reconcile the fact that the best spaghetti in the universe has to come from these people dying? And then they manufacture clone things. And Grandpa Rick says, all right, let's just make torsos, get rid of the human or the thinking, the consciousness problem altogether. And they say, okay, we make torsos. I forgot the big thing. In this episode, they only turn into amazing spaghetti if they kill themselves, if they commit suicide.
Jeez.
Yeah, right. And so they end up
building. That's what makes it taste the best.
I guess so. And otherwise, they just die like a regular life form. So they get to a point where they build out just torsos, but because the torsos have to commit suicide, they give them one arm. And the torsos use that one arm to become spaghetti.
Cool.
Good God.
Is that where cloning is going? We need to check with Dan Harmon on this. What's going on there, man?
Yeah.
I think it's fascinating, but I also think I think cloning is on the way. It is inevitable, and civilization is not prepared.
I guess I always just think this is probably also a thing I've seen in Rick and Morty, but I've certainly seen in other cartoons, maybe Family Guy, where you've got the clone gone wrong and it's just kill me, mm-hmm. It's ghastly stuff. If not treated with the utmost of respect and morality, which I don't know how you even do that properly. I think I like the idea of growing the organs individually in a lab, mm-hmm. but maybe didn't they have a thing where they could grow the ear on the back of a mouse or something?
Yeah.
That's interesting. I mean, I'm sure there's people out there that are like, no, don't kill the poor mouse. But there's got to be ways of doing that. The really, life-changing parts of this without having to sacrifice our humanity and become some sort of like mad gods.
Mm. And you know, what I like about this episode is it packs in so many things, right? Like the ethics of factory livestock and eating meat, you know, the problem of cloning, the problem of the nature of existence. It's a wild ride, and I hope it stays science fiction for a while, but like with all good science fiction, how long is it before some part of that becomes science fact? And I don't know, if you guys had a chance to clone yourselves, would you do it?
I don't think so. I mean, if it was like, you know, I would think of this in terms of like save the life of my child kind of stuff. You know what I mean?
I see. Yeah. So it'd have to be very high stakes.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's also the kind of technology that's, of course, going to only be available to the mega, mega privileged and mega, mega rich.
Maybe, yeah. Mm-hmm. In the beginning. There's also this other idea. I think this is weirdly plausible. Hear me out, guys. You're a business tycoon, right? You're a Warren Buffett level financier, or, you know, you're just a very powerful business person, and you are going to die. You have a terminal condition. You know it. It's inevitable. You can't save your own life. However, you can continue your estate and your companies and your corporations if you clone yourself and sign over the legal rights to your clone. So then just version one of you dies, and then the other guy just sails right along, creating a potentially never-ending cycle of power, lineage.
Dudes, have you guys seen Infinity Pool, the Brandon Cronenberg film?
I think I have.
No,
you'd remember
much about it. Okay.
I don't know. Speaking to the one dissenting voice on Apple Podcasts, I'm not going to spoil it, but there is, it's basically a film where the super rich are able to buy a get out of jail free card for committing horrible crimes.
Oh, that's, I have seen
okay.
this. Okay, yes. Yeah, I've seen
by
this.
Basically mm-hmm. through cloning. Mm-hmm. They're able to create, okay, whatever. It's not a spoiler. There's a million things, other things that happen, and this is in the trailer. They are able to create a clone that then is executed on their behalf, and because of this, like, there's a ritual aspect to it. They have to watch it happen, but it really does beg the question of, like, what would people do with if they never had to be held accountable for their actions?
Mm-hmm.
And the clone part of it is like, yeah, it feels it. It knows what's, it doesn't know what's happening because its memory, it only starts at the moment of its birth, but it's like it's being horrifically executed on behalf of its clone master.
Mm-hmm. And even Star Wars hits on this, right? With the Clone Wars.
Absolutely.
People have been thinking about this for a long time. There is a fantastic Orson Scott Card short story, and I disagree fundamentally with Card in his personal life and his beliefs, but the story itself is really good. That is all about the nature of attempting redemption physiologically, spiritually, financially through cloning. Spoiler, it's like an O. Henry story. It has a twist, of course. And this is strange because I think also other versions of cloning are coming to the fore before the rollout of human clones in the physical sense. We'll have the rollout of cloned voices and appearances. It's part of why I think it's inevitable, because it's already happening in the world of entertainment. I think there are a couple big companies post actor strike who will require extras and people getting started in Hollywood to sign away the rights to their appearance in the background of things, like their body gets mapped.
Sure.
And they get a flat fee once, and then your likeness can be used in any movie owned by that company.
Great new Black Mirror episode in the most recent season that handles that whole concept brilliantly, as they usually do.
Yeah. And so we want to hear your thoughts about this, folks. We want to hear what you think the world should keep in mind if we do arrive at an age of cloning. Thank you to Doug M. Thank you to Anonymous and Oz. Thanks to Brock, Always Something in Philly. Philadelphia. Thanks to Brett. Thanks, of course, to the Mitch Doctor. And thank you to you, fellow conspiracy realist, for tuning in. If you would like to be part of the show, we would love to have you. We try to be easy to find online.
That's right. You can find us at the handle Conspiracy Stuff, where we exist on X, FKA Twitter, on Facebook, and on YouTube, where we have delightful video content rolling out every single week. On Instagram and TikTok, we are Conspiracy Stuff Show.
Hey, call us. We are 1-833-STDWYTK. Go ahead and put that phone number in your system, in your phone as a contact, so you'll know if you get a call back, mysteriously so. When you call the number, make sure you give yourself a cool nickname and let us know if we can use your name and message on the air. And really, that's it. There's no rules. Do whatever you want. But if you've got an attachment or a link you want to send us, why not instead shoot us a good old-fashioned email? We are
the folks who read every single email we get 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Take us to the edge of the rabbit hole. We will do the rest. And be aware, folks, sometimes the void writes back. Conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.